listener production.
The creators of this podcast would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which it is recorded. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are the first storytellers of this land. We pay respect to their elders, past, present, and emerging, as well as any Indigenous people who may be listening today.
Hey everyone, relax. This is TOEFOP. I'm Charlie Clawson.
I'm Will Anderson. Hello and thank you for watching. I just realised we've done a bulk record today. Yeah,
that's how we do it these days.
Means, though, that I did not do our traditional little start.
Do you want to start again?
No, I don't want to start again. No, I think we've done quite well today to get through without it.
Did you do one at the very... Oh, you haven't done it once today.
I haven't done it once
today. That feels wrong.
No, we felt fine. We were doing it without it. It's obviously a superstition that we haven't needed that we can move on from.
We had
a little period of time with that and... You know, we've taken off the training wheels.
Yeah.
And we're okay. We're in the same, I think now that we're in the same studio with each other when we're doing
this. It's more of a down-the-line thing. Let's save it for when we do bonus eps or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes the most sense.
Yes.
We want to get to the mailbag because we have a few things we need to read out.
Uh-huh.
But I did remember, occasionally for TOEFOP, I'll write down some notes.
Okay.
Some random observations. Yeah. Just some things that I've seen that I want to get your feedback
Interesting.
On. So I don't know if this is a segment or if it's just a one-off. Random observations.
Great.
Random clobservations.
Clobservations, yes. I think that's great. It's time for some
random
clobservations.
random clobservations. Okay, so I was driving the other day and someone had a bumper sticker on.
Uh-huh.
And
good.
I have not been
love it.
I have not been able to stop thinking about this bumper sticker because I don't understand.
Okay. Great.
The bumper sticker simply said this, let me merge or I'll shit my pants.
Let me merge or I'll shit my pants.
Is it just that?
I think so.
Why? Why would you put that on your car?
Because if you don't let them merge, they'll shit their pants.
How does that affect me in any way? It's your problem if you shit your pants.
I mean, well, you can help by letting them merge.
But
this is a person, Charlie, who's grown up with only one deficiency in their life. Everything else is pretty cool. Like life's been pretty kind to them. They have a good job. They have a nice family. They're a good member of the local community. But unfortunately, occasionally, if somebody doesn't let them merge, they shit their pants. Are you going to deny them that by not letting them merge? Let them in.
100%. I want nothing to do with someone.
But by not letting them merge, you've forced them to shit their pants.
That's not my problem.
Well,
why are you in the car if you are prone to shitting your pants?
Well, they only shit their pants in this one specific
situation. So you're saying, okay.
Yeah.
So there's something psychological, maybe some childhood trauma.
That's right.
Like their father died in a merging incident.
Exactly.
And so now they shit their pants
if they're not allowed in.
Their father was not allowed to merge. Yeah. An 18-wheeler just cleaned up his car. And so now it's his triggering incident where if they don't, they shit their pants.
Yeah.
Just don't drive.
So someone, because they suffered a traumatic incident in their youth, they shouldn't be able to drive for the rest
of their life. Not that they shouldn't be able to, but it is not my responsibility to stop you from
shitting
your pants.
But they're just asking. They're just saying, let me merge or I'll shit my pants.
Well, it's not actually asking. It actually sounds like a threat, even when you say it in that, with your dulcet tones. But let me merge or I'll shit my pants is a threat.
Or I'll shit my pants.
You're not going to bully me with your uncontrollable bowel movements.
No, but let me merge.
Let me merge.
Let me merge or I'll shit my pants.
That still sounds like a threat. Passively aggressive, sure, but I don't think I want to do that.
Let me merge or I'll shit my pants.
Yep, still not.
No?
It's not winning me over. All right, next random.
That was a good note.
Clobservation.
I liked it. Good clobservation.
So is athlete's foot the store, the sneaker store?
Oh, okay. Not the disease.
Well, this is my question.
Okay.
Is athlete's foot the only chain to successfully use a double entendre that also has a negative connotation?
You know what? That's good.
It's like a cigarette company that used the star sign cancer in their brand name, Cancer Cigarettes. Like, can you think of another popular mainstream brand? Because athlete's foot
is an affliction.
It's so negative.
Yes.
But there, and it's not even like athlete's foot, and it's completely removed from
no. Feet. And it's not a cure. It's the place where you literally don't want to be feet. Reminded of.
It's like it's bold. A very bold.
It's like a strip club called herpes.
Yeah, exactly. Lung cancer cigarettes.
Yes.
Can you think of any other, like, I mean, there's double entendre stores, right? Like,
I know, but it is bold, isn't it? Because it's not like, you know, there are some things where you're like, athlete's foot, what is athlete's foot? I guess that's part of it, is that it feels like tinea. One of those things like.
Is tinea athlete?
Yeah,
sorry.
Okay, I think you're right.
Can you look up what?
I think it is tinea.
We'll get the medical, and we have a lot of doctors listening to the show. Let's do our due diligence and get the actual medical definition of what athlete's foot is. I believe it's like foot rot. From like dampness, sweat.
I mean, foot rot sounds worse than
foot
athlete's
rot flat.
Foot. Like foot rot, athlete's foot sounds like something I get from doing too much like athletics.
Running.
Whereas foot rot sounds like something I get from like wearing damp shoes inside or something.
Have you got the answer for us?
From what I can see, they are the same thing. Athlete's foot, tinea pedis is the name. Pedis, like podiatry, I guess.
Yeah.
The feet.
Right. Yep. Okay.
A fungal infection.
Okay, see, I mean, that's the worst.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing.
It's weird that that got through so many meetings to, like, be the name of the shop.
That you
isn't
franchised it and you're asking people to buy into the franchise, pay
you know
a franchise
fee. You know
what
we should name our business after? A fungal infection that you get. Oh, where? On your foot. The place where you're trying to sell someone something. We would like to remind them as we try to sell them something to of a fungal
infection.
But we
all just accepted it, didn't
you
we?
Can get on your feet.
Like, you're a comedian. Have you ever seen anyone do some stand-up about this? Like, it seems like such an obvious.
It's a good
It's again, it's a
topic.
Hiding in plain sight kind of thing. It's so broad and obvious that you're like, oh, yeah, I'll just let them get away with it.
Yeah, well, Peter Hallier used to have a great thing about, like, bras and things. You know, why the things? What are the things? I'm not here for the bras. I'm just here for the things. You know what I mean? Like it's a fun observation in plain sight, but
not a clobservation. Not a random clobservation.
No, and I like your clobservation.
Okay.
Because it's a popular, like, I mean, because I know they're, I guess in their mind, they're like, athlete's foot is a term. We want to like sell the idea that this is athletic. So we're leaning more into the athlete's part of athlete's foot. 100%
get that.
But the fact that athlete's foot is also
so specifically a fungal infection.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, I guess it's kind of, what would be an associate? Like, is there a yeast? Like, you buy dry yeast at the supermarket. Yeah. Like, if you called your yeast, like, yeast infection.
Yeah, right.
Like, you're making a loaf of bread, get a yeast infection.
Yeah, that's right.
Does your loaf need an infection? Get yeast infection.
Yeah.
You'll be like, that's disgusting. I don't want any of that anywhere near me.
Infection doesn't sound great.
Or eczema. Eczema. Could that be part of your, could you have a store called, like, eczema? Eczema. No.
Okay. Ex machina?
Should I move on to the next
random
clobservation?
I mean, look, you know what? It was a great, great clobservation in the first place. We ran out of steam, but it was a good initial observation.
Are we the last generation, like as in not, this will actually be good to bring you on this, Mike. Are Will and I the last generation to have experienced white dog poo?
What?
Do you ever see white dog poo anymore?
Oh my God. So literally the other day.
Sorry. Hey, Mike, have you ever seen white dog poo?
Well, I thought that was what happened with cat poo, because we used to have a cat that would come into our backyard and poo in the backyard, and when it had been there for a while, it would be like white.
Yeah, yeah. I think that does the same thing, but there is a reason why there's no white dog poo anymore. Do you know what the reason is?
Racism.
Fucking woke. Poo's woke. Gone woke.
Sorry. The woke mind virus
strikes
again.
Poo used to be white and it was fine.
Go, man, what happened to the larrikin?
Yeah.
You know what you don't see anymore? Larrikins and white dog poo. Because it's not politically correct,
it's all bloody
it,
queer, diverse, bloody
right.
dog poo now, isn't it? Bloody multicultural dog poo. It's ridiculous.
Won't even see it anymore. Why is it? What is the reason?
Because they used to put a calcium supplement into dog food.
Yeah.
Which would
turned it white,
but then they realized that dogs don't need that calcium supplement, and so they took it out of dog food. And it happened about 20 years ago.
I made a joke
because when we were kids,
yeah.
Let me tell you this: Like when you were being bullied as a kid, when we were little kids, you were either made to lick a piece of dog poo, if the bully was really mean. Definitely have white dog poo thrown at you at some point.
Thrown at you.
Yeah.
This bit where someone made you lick it.
I might have been thinking in the movie Step Brothers, but like it definitely was a thing. Like white dog poo was like a good way to kind of like scare people.
I made the joke because I had a colonoscopy, and 2 days before the colonoscopy, you have to eat all white foods. And I made like part, I was
good.
Like,
I'm glad finally.
I was making the point. I made a like joke about the dog poo and got a real
No one gets it.
No one got it.
No, because there's no white dog poo anymore.
No.
Like it's so ingrained in my memories of like the 80s and walking around my neighborhood.
Nothing well, also, says 80s like white dog poo.
I also think it's also conscientious dog ownership.
Yeah, well that's
too.
That was going to be my guess is it just being picked up more. But it's not being picked up exclusively because at my local park there's always a few
apes of shit. you take your dog to a shit park, people just love dog shit. Like there should be one park in every city where your dog can shit and you don't have to clean it up. Just piles of stinking turds everywhere.
It's like it's just one day a year like the purge, but on that day no one has to pick up their shit.
All right, next random clobservation. Sometimes at night when I'm feeling anxious, I'll do like breathing exercises. Okay. Like sort of, I don't know if it's called circular breathing, where you like breathe in for 6, hold for 2, out for 8, something like that. Now, I, you know, have my wife lying next to me.
Yeah.
Do you think that she knows that I'm doing a breathing exercise, or do you think that she thinks I breathe weird? Like if you were lying next to someone and they were going like, like, would that alarm you?
Yeah.
It would?
I mean, I would have to stop doing it for a start.
Like, is this, she's never brought it up.
Yeah.
I don't do it every night, but there has been lots of nights where I'm like, I can't sleep, I'm feeling anxious, I'm going to do some circular breathing. Is it circular breathing?
There are only two.
Box breathing.
There are two explanations. And only two explanations. One is that she understands what you're doing and has chosen to just let it be and let you be in peace. The second is that she has night deafness.
Because that's the only logical explanation. She has night deafness.
I think she must know what you're doing because that is very discernible that you are.
All right, this is my last random clobservation, and I must have written this around Australia Day. So people say you can't change the date because no matter what you change, this is an argument by the
law. I like your clobservations though. They run the gamut.
Of everything.
Like, it's politics.
They're random clobservations.
Random clobservations.
Bumper stickers.
Yeah,
so people say you can't change the date, and this is an argument from people like on the right side.
Yeah.
Because no matter what you change the date to, there'll be a group of people who find some reason to object to it. That's an argument I saw a few times.
Of course.
But is that really true? And is there a date that has the lowest incidence of things happening on it?
Yeah.
Because then we can make that Australia Day. So like if we looked at every day, like if there was a way to calculate, like, you know, maybe 5 incidents happened on this date, but it's the lowest one. Can we agree that that's the new Australia Day? Because there's a low likelihood that anyone will object to it.
Yeah.
Can you actually Google
and
that?
And also, by
can
the
you
way,
find out like what date has the lowest amount of things that happened on it?
What do you mean, lowest amount of things?
Well,
though?
Like,
don't they have to be related to the history of our country?
Oh, the history of
thought?
In Australian history, what date had the least amount?
I mean,
of things
I don't think that's
it?
A good Google search to make anybody do.
Try it to see what happens.
No, but that's not even the right argument, is it? Because the argument isn't that this is the date that had the worst. Like, I mean, it's symbolic of a time when there was a dispossession of like a country without, you know, like, so yes. And that date has become symbolic. It's not that like, oh, we'll find some other date where you can't go, something bad happened on this day.
No, but if you follow the logic of their argument and say, okay, well,
let's find a day where the least bad things happen.
Yeah, where the least amount of bad things happen.
But then what happens when like a September 11 happens?
We move it again.
Yeah.
No, as long as that
moved it once, we will keep moving it.
No, we keep ranking the dates and until
there's a rank
amount
and it moves
of bad
up and
dates
down.
Go
every year.
Yeah, so just say it's like May 12th.
At the end of the year, every year there is a list of everything, right?
Yeah,
like you know, why not every year publish what was the best and worst day of the year.
Yeah.
Like rank them.
Oh, cool.
Right?
And then we can move it
based
around.
On, we have a little algorithm of good things and bad things that happened on this day.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, when they're doing the best of the year list, you literally rank the days of the year. Like who was best.
Or could we rotate Australia Day, like a rotating captaincy, where it's like it's on this date. You know,
so change it every year.
So just say,
it's a progressive holiday. A
progressive holiday.
Yeah.
And that way, because the idea behind a rotating captaincy.
When do we most need it? It's a captain's pick.
Yeah. Well, no, the idea behind.
Every year the Prime Minister gets to decide.
The idea of a rotating captaincy is it engenders leadership amongst your entire group because everyone gets a chance. Mm. So if the argument is, look, Australia Day is alienating one group of people being on this day, then let's just keep moving the date. And that way everyone can feel included. Because sure, it might not be your year for Australia Day.
Yeah, keep it moving.
But just wait 12 months.
But it might be. It will come around.
What do you mean?
Yeah, that's what I mean. But I mean wait.
Yeah, that's right. Like wait, three. I mean, he's got 365 years before you can be offended again.
Yeah.
And by then we'll all be dead. So who cares? Amy, is there a day in Australia that the least amount of things happen on it?
I don't even know where to start googling this.
That's a very... That was
come on. Can I ask, what did you put in your Google?
Yeah.
I couldn't even get going. I'm like,
no,
what?
Exactly.
No, there's got to be a search.
You can't be googling.
What is the most historically insignificant date in Australia?
What do you...
No,
what?
What is the most insignificant date in history?
I'll try Googling that.
Yeah, I mean, Google that, but you're not going to get
Well, you get a calendar, right? And it'll say, hey, this is like Hobart Day or whatever, and this is, you know, Labor Day and blah, blah, blah. Like, there's got to be heaps of days where nothing happened.
But it also...
I'll put one forward. I'll put my own birthday forward. July 31st.
Yes.
Like, it's the feast day of St. Ignatius of Loyola.
Uh-huh.
I think it's the fictional birthday of Harry Potter, but nothing to do with Australia. Put in what significant...
Apparently, so I Googled what is the most insignificant day in Australia, and then a Wikipedia article came up that apparently April 11th, 1954 is the most boring day in history. So I don't know if we could adopt that day more generally.
April 11th, 1954.
4/11. I like it.
April and then we get 11th. More April 411. Holidays.
What's the 411, bro? It's Australia Day.
In 1954.
What was going on in 1954 that made it so insignificant? Imagine it was your birthday.
Bulldogs
and everyone's like, this is the worst day ever.
Bulldogs won, but that wasn't until later in the year.
Yeah, April 11.
What are the Olympics? 56.
TV year, yeah. I don't know. But I'm cool with changing it to April 11. You got any issues with that?
I mean, it's during the comedy festival.
Oh, okay, that sucks for you.
Yeah.
Well, it's just one day, though. More people can come see comedy. You should be bloody supporting it.
I mean,
comedians around Australia start getting offended.
It's just like, no.
It's like, this is our.
Keep it on January 26th. Yeah. This is our day, April 11th.
April 11th. Significant to us.
Yeah.
I'm okay with April. I'm fine with any date besides the one it's on. I think this is we move it from this one because there's a significant portion of Australians who don't want
it. What days can't it be? Like if
Christmas
you had to
Day,
rule out some days, I think Christmas
9/11,
Day, 9/11.
It's got bad association. What if we moved it to 9/11?
9/11 didn't happen here.
Yeah, I know. So right? We love it.
It's not even...
In fact, we love 9/11. We love it down here.
It's not even 9/11.
It's 11/9 there in America.
So what if we do it on our 9/11?
That was our 9/11. Controversial. I could just see us in Parliament. Yes, the chair recognises the member of Tofop Town. Yeah, we'd like to propose a bill that we move Australia Day to September 11th. We can't see any conflicts here or any problematic... problems associated with this?
No. Our 9/11. We're going to move it to the 9th of October.
Okay. Yeah.
9th of, sorry, November.
9th of November.
9th of November.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds good to me.
Yeah.
9th of November. What happens in November? Nothing.
That's okay. 9th of November, pre-Christmas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah. And we change November to Movember officially. It's the 9th of November, Australia Day.
9/11 Movember.
Yeah, we're on our fourth episode in a row. Can you tell? We promised that we were going to empty the mailbag.
Yes, let's do it.
So let's get into this. This is from Matthew, who says, love all your shows.
Okay.
You can find them all in the one feed at Everyone Relax.
Everyone Relax.
My first TOEFOP memory is Will and Charlie talking about the Asterix books. My question is this. Why does Will always sound like he's doing philosophy from a very deep and warm bath?
Oh, what does that mean?
I think it's a compliment. I mean, the bath thing could be like an echoey apartment.
Yeah, it's probably.
But the deep and warm bath thing suggests that you've got like honey-toned, like, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, yeah, so Will's warm bath. And welcome to philosophy.
I mean,
Lennison.
I'd love to do it from a warm bath. Like, sure. Honestly.
What a great angle.
I would love to.
Although, how many guests would want to talk to you knowing that you were nude?
It's just, yeah.
Your
well,
bits
that's
were
I mean.
Floating just off
it's,
camera.
It's like, it's wrong. It yeah. feels
It's like, an assault.
I think, yeah. I think, I mean, well, you have to let people know. You wouldn't, like, but I still feel like that aspect, but the feeling, the sensation of like being in
a nice warm
the
bath.
Warm bath and having like that conversation.
Could you reckon you could do it for an hour though? Like I whenever I have a bath, I reckon about half an hour to top
of
it
like
up.
Adjust the yeah. Heat. I mean, we'd need a little.
It'd be like a thermostat to keep it at the same temperature.
Oh.
You don't want to be running the tap during the interview. Can you imagine that?
I mean, I like.
You
the
finally get
sounds.
Russell Crowe on philosophy, yeah. And you just lean over.
Both, oh, now we're both in the bath.
Yeah. So I just lean in, rubber ducky, got a shower cap on my head. Okay, this next bit of mail is yes. from Sharon. Now, you remember I was talking about, I was getting frustrated because I was doing home repairs and I had the loose socket I couldn't get the new light bulb socket into. Do you remember that? Anyway, I did talk about that. This is from Sharon. She says, I'm listening to your episode, Little Miss Hitler. And I work for an energy safety regulator in Australia. Uh-huh. And if Charlie is connecting a new light to the hard wire in the house, he is doing work that only a licensed electrician should be doing. So probably best just to call an electrician, huh? I think you've misunderstood. I'm not connecting a light socket to a hard wire in the house. I'm simply replacing the light. Is that different or is it the same thing? Is the hard
who are you asking this question
you guys,
of?
Does it sound like what does that sound dangerous what I'm
doing?
What
part of knowing me for, like, I said it was dangerous when you told me about it last time.
I watched a YouTube video, though,
yeah, again,
when they didn't say I had to call a licensed electrician.
I mean, YouTube videos will tell you a lot of things.
That's true. Did you know that, like, there was once a white nation, a white ethnostate, where everything was just beautiful and calm. We all were happy. So I shouldn't be doing that, apparently.
Mucking about with electricity in your own house.
Well,
probably not.
I mean, I know I'm not a licensed electrician, but
you're
it's
not.
Really just about connecting three separate wires to three contact points. But what could go wrong?
Yeah, what could go wrong?
I've turned the power off.
Yeah. Have you?
Yes. But when the power.
Are you sure, though? Are you a licensed electrician?
I mean, I don't
want
to talk down to licensed electricians,
okay.
But I reckon I could do your job.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
No, that part of your job. Yeah. If my job as your apprentice was, hey, Charlie, can you shut off the power and connect the hard wire to this light socket? Yeah. Well, I mean, I can't because I can't do it, but in theory I could. Yeah.
I mean, it's your life, man.
Well, not much longer by the sounds of things.
You live it how you want to live it. You take the risk that you want to take.
All right. This next bit of mail has come in from, we got quite a bit of email. This is from Abubakar. I think that might be your last name. I think you've filled in your first and last name back to front because unless your last name is Barry and your first name is Abubakar Barry, it's more likely Barry Abubakar, right?
Yes.
Okay. just checking. I mean, your last name could be Barry, right? Like Leo Barry.
Yes.
Whatever your name is, thank you for sending this in. Greetings from America.
Okay.
I was listening to TOEFOP, the high tea. You guys were brainstorming an idea about a detective that tastes their clues in order to solve it. Well, I hope you guys love comics because you've pretty much come up with the concept for Chew. It's about an FDA agent named Tony Chew that solves crimes by receiving psychic visions from food, including people that he eats. It's highly acclaimed. It's won several Eisner Awards.
Yeah.
One of the highest awards given to comic books. It's a great read if you're interested. Keep up the great work, fellas. Yes. James Fosdyke.
Yes, he was the first.
Brought this to our attention
almost immediately after I was recording that episode.
And subsequently, I've probably got about, I reckon, a dozen emails.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a popular
comic book that we had no idea about. It's like we invented, what if there's a man who dressed like a bat fought crime?
But imagine, like, here's the thing, Charlie. You know what that actually says?
What?
Because I do believe, like, because I remember that riff and, like, where it was all going. It was, like, just a genuine riff. It wasn't like either of us knew about Chew and were remembering it or, like, that sort of thing. It is one of those things where you're like, oh, man. We had an idea that, like, won a really big award. That, like, if we'd had the, like, had it at the right time and had the capacity to
execute.
Yeah, right?
Like, I feel like that's this idea. Entire show. We're great at coming up with ideas with no follow through.
No follow through. And occasionally someone else has already done it.
Wouldn't it be the height of irony that AI enables us to execute all these wonderful ideas to create fantastic works of art?
Like, we just program an AI to say, here are all the episodes.
Yeah.
Just do the things that we talked about doing. Would that be a better world or a worse world, do you think? Without going back and thinking of specific things, if we were able to feed all of Tofop into an AI.
I don't think we've come up with anything evil.
I don't think so. Well.
Mainly stupid.
Yeah.
Stupid ideas.
Things that we might not have considered what the ongoing consequences of them were.
I was going back through some old Tofop stuff. What was it looking at? I can't remember why I was doing this, but I was going back through some old Tofop stuff. And at one point we were obsessed with, what's the term? Is it anachronistic? Things that are out of place, you know, like technology that's anachronistic. Is that right? You're both staring at me like two puzzled dogs.
I think so. Or like iconoclastic?
Something, anyway, let's say anachronistic means what I think it means.
Sure.
So before your time, Amy, in fact, you would have been probably like, I don't know, a baby. But Will and I with Tofop, we used to love, like, we had a courtroom sketch artist come and, you know, sketch one of our shows. Yes. We had a stenographer come to one of our live shows and transcribe the show. So whatever technology was like completely unnecessary. And we talked about.
Anachronistic.
That's right. We talked about. Getting an old-timey, like, silent movie piano player to come in and accompany us on one of our live shows. And I was like, fuck, why didn't we ever do that? Like, I still reckon we should do that. Don't you reckon that would be fun? Just because they can accent, like, you know, certain parts of the show, you know, when we get onto a roll, they pick up speed and, like, gives the show some tempo. And then, you know, if we get into that serious talk about AI, it gets all moody and stuff like that. Like, a soundtrack, a live soundtrack to an episode of Tofop.
Do you think that is something that people can do?
Yeah. Like, a skilled pianist.
What are you doing?
I'm looking at all the cameras so they... made sure when I said pianist, they knew that I was talking about a guy that plays a piano. I think a skilled pianist, like Cam Bruce, he's a mate of ours. He's a skilled pianist. He could come
could
in.
Could he play for like an hour though?
Oh, yeah.
Would a skilled pianist be able to like, be able to play for an hour in a row without a break? Like, well, can you just keep...
Depends how. Yeah, no, I think it. Yeah, again, sorry. Hey, Mike, are you a musician?
No, I play music sometimes for fun at home, but I'm not a musician.
Okay, all right, but I
know
people
who do that sort of thing.
That's what jazz is, right?
They just
Yeah, jazz music is that they just roll on for like an hour and they'll just like play. So I don't think it would be particularly hard.
You're absolutely right,
but I think it has to be an old timey
because. Yeah, no, I've done theatre spots and stuff where they've had like an accompaniment. You're right. Of course they can do that.
Yeah.
All right. I'm in. Who do we get? Tim Minchin?
No, I reckon we get Ken Bruce. I reckon he'd do it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's only worked with like some of the greatest artists in Australia and then we ask him to do it. He writes movie scores now.
Going on. Tour with Paul Kelly, then if you could just come and accompany us for an hour.
But I don't know if like the old, you know, the kind of music, the plinky plink, like is that a different kind of piano?
Could you play some plinky plink for us? I mean, there'd just be a button where you could like set it to plinky plink, surely.
Yeah. I reckon that could be funny.
Bring your keyboard.
Live show or just in here? We set him up in the corner here in the studio.
I mean, live show, surely, if you're going to get someone to come and plinky plink for you.
And then we should sort of like set up some like dramatic moments, like a villain, like, because then they go dun, 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 when like, you know, a rival podcast into the theater.
Really? Like, do we think it's going to be?
Like, I don't know. Who's a rival to us?
Who is a rival?
Like, I mean, Swedish if we were going to. Are they still?
I think, no, I don't think so.
Well, we've outlasted all of them.
Yeah. I mean, if we were going to pick a rivalry, I think that what's like a classic rivalry you need for like a situation like this, if it was going to be like a, it's either going to be something that's exactly
very
the
similar,
same
yeah.
or kind completely of complete different. Opposite.
Well, there's every podcast when we started was just two white guys. Yeah. So maybe it's more interesting if it was like.
Complete opposite. What's the most opposite podcast to us in Australian show business? Like.
Like particularly like a Serious big, Danger podcast, you know, yeah. they're all like lefty and diverse. And
yeah, so Emerald Moon and Tom Ballard decide they have a beef with yeah. us.
So take us down because we represent
yeah, the patriarchy.
Everything that's wrong
exactly,
with society.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
You know what yeah. stopped Christine McNeil from that exorcism? The bloody patriarchy.
Tofop. And Tofop.
And Tofop. So we start a beef with them.
Yeah.
So they
start a beef with us.
Oh, they start a beef with yeah. us. Yeah. It's all, they do a whole episode about yeah, how we're everything that's down. Wrong.
Everything wrong.
Mediocre
Should
men.
Should be using our platform.
Or what? Your platform, Comic Con.
Yeah, no, but this is, okay. Yeah. We don't have to defend our fictional argument okay, we're making sorry. On their it's behalf against them.
Yeah. Picking holes in this hypothetical.
Going, oh, come on. Well, yeah,
defending us from this completely made up accusation. All right. So they come in as our rivals. What happens?
Yeah.
Well, oh, then the plinky plink.
Yeah. I was trying to just get the appropriate people for the plinky plink.
Okay. All right.
Do you just need them or like, is there more plinky plink style? Like, I mean,
well, we got villains.
Yeah.
And then you got like a love story.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it would be a romance. Yeah. So, and it doesn't have to be necessarily like, you know, real life romance. It's yeah. like, you know, we love the Weekly
yeah.
Planet.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe James and Meso yeah. turn up and it's all like swoony like a, kind yeah. of music or something like that.
Okay. Yeah. yeah, yeah.
I don't know cool. where we're going. Should we move on yeah, to the next yeah. letter?
I think so.
Oh, this is a really interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is legit or not. In fact, actually, Amy, I'm just going to send you something right now so you can bring up on the screen because you sent us a link. Okay, let me just send this. So this is from someone who calls themselves Snake Grills, and I'm happy
Snake
saying
Grills.
First and last name okay. because I feel like it's maybe a pseudonym or something.
Okay, Snake Grills.
I'm just sending you a link to TikTok if you could bring this up on the big screen. Thanks, Amy.
It was
he says,
always Lucky Grills, of course.
Now, I don't remember having this conversation, but yeah. maybe this is right. Related to the patient with the tattoo from a few weeks ago. Okay. Hey, guys,
mm-hmm.
I am willing to get a Tofop face tattoo
oh my God.
Above my eyebrow
yep.
if you give me $1,000. I did another campaign where I raised money to get a snake tattoo uh-huh. on my face.
Yep.
The campaign was a success and I raised $300.
Uh-huh.
I'm a TikToker called Snakey and I have 11,000 followers with a vid with over 700,000 views.
Wow.
This would be huge for Tofop and only cost you 1,000 big ones.
Yeah.
Tofop above the eyebrow. Here's a link to my TikTok. Love, Snakey. I love you, brothers. I don't think he's related to me. He's related to you, Snakey?
Don't know.
No, Ross, I'd is, have to Ross check. Is your brother. It's yeah. not Snakey. He doesn't go by the name.
Oh, it's true, actually. No, no, he's Ross not my Snakey brother. Ross Snakey. No, no, you're right. No, he's got a different name.
Snake, P.S. Also, Snakey is the new Spidey.
Oh, Snake is the new Spidey. Nice.
All right. This is okay. This is Snakey's TikTok account.
Oh, all right.
All right.
All right. I think this should be the video. It's the pinned one that seems to be him getting the
Snakey's
tattoo.
Face tattoo. Okay.
Okay.
So he's asking hey, for people to donate $300 so I can get a face tattoo.
Have you seen Squid Game? A snake like here? How much would it cost to get like a
do you
snake
have a
here?
Photo?
What?
Do you have a
bruises? So how much will it be? It'll be 300.
Yeah.
300 to get that here?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. You guys, if I get 300 in PayPal donations, I will get the snake right here. I'll be back if I get the donations.
Do we want Snakey to get a Tofop tattoo?
No. I would like Snakey to get some professional help. Maybe a close circle of friends who can help out Snakey.
Does anyone?
Would, I don't want anyone to have a toe fop tattoo on their face.
On their face,
no.
But anywhere else is fine. What about neck? Like Dusty Martin.
Your neck, your back, your pussy, or your crack is fine. It's fine. But no, not your face. Not your pretty, beautiful face. You shouldn't get a toe fop face tattoo at all. No. Right.
Now this,
I'm anti that.
This is just more of a PSA from Tim. I don't know if this will mean much to anyone, but traditionally we have lost episodes of toe fop. If you, I don't know what the numbers are right now or the numbering system, but... There's one episode in particular which is like the white whale of Lost Toe Fop episodes. Hi, guys. I've been running about 6 months behind for a couple of years, and I've just got up to episode 469 where you talk about the missing episode of Toe Fop and if AI can recreate it. Well, I can do you one better. I have the episode. The episode you were talking about is episode 37, but... the episode we talked about was episode 37, but it actually looks like the episode you meant was episode 36. Which was called Penguins. What a classic. Will and Charlie discuss even more microphone positions, Charlie's dashed puppeteering dreams, and their mutual disdain for fantasy icons. I have no idea. So episode 36, that would have been like 2010?
Yeah. Early days.
Okay, so he's uploaded it. We can include this link in the episode description, Amy. I'll send it to you. You should be able to right-click and download it, blah, 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 blah. I was listening in the car and thought there was a good chance I had the episodes because I first downloaded them as they were coming out and they were sitting on an old hard drive. So I hope that helps some Toe Fop archivists. I look forward to hearing about this again around Christmas when you've caught up to my email and I'm caught up on the episode or finding out that someone else has had it when I listened to episode 470. This next bit of mail.
That's amazing though.
Comes in.
Well done.
Yeah, good. Well done. I mean, did you ever save an episode, like download an episode of a podcast?
Not on purpose. I think that it happened. Like, but yeah, no. I mean, I wouldn't know. There's so much stuff that I put on hard drives because I thought I would need it at some stage, and now I'm like, I'm never going to need that.
Now this is going to go way back because I've gone to the Patreon now because we have some messages we haven't addressed from here.
All right.
And this is old. This is from December last year.
Okay.
It's from Stephen. I came here to write different message, but after the episode where you said that Foz's exhibition opening in 2019 wasn't an official Toe Fop Live, it was a coincidence seeing there was a message sent with an early bird link to an event titled Toe Fop Live at the Compound Interest. Okay, so the point he's making is we build it as a Toe Fop Live. Well, you have this on a technicality.
No, it was a Toe Fop Live at James's event.
Yes, but it wasn't a...
Toe Fop Live.
We didn't do Toe Fop
live
on stage. We did an interview with James at the Compound Interest for his exhibition. Anyway, I was going to ask how...
I mean, it doesn't really matter. but yes, in the slight delineation we have between those things, that is the delineation we have between those things.
Anyway, I was going to ask how Will is progressing with the Wheel of Time series. It may be months or years until this message is read. Well, you're close, 3 months. But that is also a long series. How are you going with the Wheel of Time?
Well, I went very well for a while. I reckon I got 5 or 6 books in and then I've had a bit of a break now.
Right.
Got a bit samey.
Which one was that again?
It's a fantasy series.
Yeah, but what's the premise?
Oh, I mean, there's a lot going on. But it's like, it's just a bit samey is honestly what I'll say. But I've been reading a whole bunch of... other books, comedy books. I read James Collie's book, which I really enjoyed. And yeah, I've been like reading heaps of other like
fiction.
Yeah, I highly recommend. Apparently, I've said this before, but apparently men stop reading fiction. And I think any time that you're reading fiction of any kind, it is a good thing.
I find it so hard to, everything I've been reading lately has all been nonfiction because I'm like, I get like, I need like recommendations or where should
I know,
I start?
It is a little
because I have started a couple of fiction books and I'm like, I'm not into this. And it's very hard to get into. You've missed the genre or the tone or whatever. Stephen continues, it was interesting to recently hear Will talk about reading more fiction. Is that something that I also need to get back into? It was disappointing to learn on philosophy from Andrew Hansen about David Edding's dark past. And I would second Jackie Cashian's recommendation of A Gentleman in Moscow. How about you, Charlie? What are your reading habits? We just heard about that. So what was the David Eddings dark past?
So David, you know when you like find out something about
someone that you like,
someone you really like, and it turns out there's like some they were dodgy back in the day and then changed their name and blah, blah, blah. Oh. And I was like,
was it something that bad?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was something bad.
All right. Okay. So this is from Sasha. Happy 500th, sort of. Hey, you guys. I love the blind water test to see if Will's palate could detect Fiji water. So fun. But due to all this talk of Fiji water, you influenced me to go buy a slab of it.
That was not complete opposite. Yeah.
But if there is another Australian brand, there is another Australian brand that I bought that's also as good as Fiji water. It's called Alka Power and can also be found at Woolworths. And as we know, there's nothing wrong with Woolworths.
Great company.
Well led.
Yeah,
well led. Stable leadership, I'd like to point out. I think I'd like to see Will try it to see if it compares. Well, we could try that.
Yep.
We'll bring in some Muji.
Some more water and some Muji outfits.
P.S. A dog star has been doing some appearances. They were just on Jimmy Kimmel's show.
Really? Dog star?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, of course, we'll continue, Sasha. He did sign off, but then the letter keeps going. So, of course, we all love chatting about all things Keanu. His genuine humility and down-to-earth character is so cool. Last week, while watching Jimmy Kimmel's show, I noticed that they were announced as the band. What was so great was that there was absolutely no reference made to Keanu. Mm. His name was not uttered, and no extra attention was shown to him as the bass player. It was so cool to see that the attention went to the group as a whole and the lead singer, while Keanu just played in the background. I'm sure that's not what the producers wanted to do. That would have been under express instructions from the band's management.
I mean, but so good, though.
That's power, right?
Yeah.
When you're the most...
The power to be...
Anonymous.
Ostentatiously humble.
This is from Matthew, still on the Keanu thing. I've been loving the Keanu and Will thread. Surely one of you has to know or has worked with Peter Phelps. I don't know Peter Phelps, but I've met him a couple of times. Nice guy. You know what I did? I did that classic Dolph Lundgren thing, the Nicki Winmar thing, where I talked to Peter Phelps about something that he was passionate about, because I'd... Years ago, he wrote this memoir.
I've read that. It's
Sex
great.
With Madonna.
Yes.
Yeah. Or Sex Without Madonna.
Sex Without Madonna, yes.
Important distinction. Yeah. And so I saw him at the Logies and I went up and I said, I really like your book. And he was so keen to talk about it. Good guy. Anyway, this is Matthew's scenario. Okay. We're back at the hotel setting.
Yeah.
Will is leaving the pool area as Keanu is entering. Uh-huh. Keanu asks, how's the pool? Will says, as my friend Peter Phelps always says, it's death on a stick out there. And the rest writes itself. Uh-huh. Keep up the good work. I didn't even see where that was going.
Do you think I just say, as my friend Peter Phelps always says, that will be enough? Do you think that Phelps and Keanu are still in touch?
No. No, not at all.
You don't think they bonded over that moment, became friends forever?
No, I think maybe... If it had actually been shot in Australia or something like that, but it would have been such a random day on set where they were like, you've got this one line, get the Aussie actor in, get him to shoot that line and get him out.
See, I think the problem with this is...
Do you think that Phelps, he had a responsibility as an Australian to say to the writer and the director, we don't talk like that?
No.
You wouldn't say, hey, look, just so you know, no one in Australia actually says death on a stick. It's not a common phrase.
Mate, people say death on the stick all the time. Like Harold Holt, last words, death on a stick out there. It's one of the most iconically Australian expressions.
Now I'm actually wondering, on a stick. That is a saying though, isn't it? Something on a stick.
Death on a stick, mate. It's bloody death on a stick out there.
Death on a stick?
Yeah.
Is it?
I mean, here's what I will say to you about this, honestly, which is that I think that Peter Phelps and Keanu would be friends. I'm fine with that. I'm okay with that assumption. But I don't think that I want to be dropping to Keanu a reference to one of his most iconic films, right?
No, you want to do the opposite.
Like, I'm trying to do this whole down low. It's not about, you know, him being Keanu Reeves, the movie star. I've put all this work into becoming friends with him. Like, it's not like I'm pretending I don't know he's a movie star. But if I suddenly start quoting lines from one of his biggest roles.
Giving the game away.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
You've got to stay away from all that stuff. Yeah. Death on a Stick, Urban Dictionary, extremely painful or climactic death, usually involving sandwiches.
Yeah.
Something being death on a stick means a chance of dying in nearly 100%. Don't eat that sandwich.
Yeah, it's death on a stick, like a club sandwich.
Okay. Death on a stick could also refer to a piece of animal meat that is on a stick.
Okay, yep.
Or a cigarette, death on a stick.
Oh, yeah, a death stick.
Death stick. I've heard that before.
Yeah.
But on a stick. I'm now just so confused to think if I ever heard, like, is it, can you substitute other things from death? That's something on a stick?
Like, what do you mean?
Oh, like someone's good looking, that's sex on a stick.
Oh, yeah, but that sounds painful. Having sex on a stick.
Oh, that's class on a stick.
Yeah, that's class doesn't feel like something. Oh, yeah, actually, maybe. That's glamour like on a
stick. That's luxury on a stick. Like a really nice hotel room. That's like luxury on a stick.
That's leisure on a stick.
But what's the stick?
I mean, the stick is the serving implement, right? Like, that's like as in like a hot dog on a stick or some sort of like club sandwich on a stick, right? Yeah, served on a stick, like a toothpick, like a serving implement.
Do you ever remember in the playground when you were a kid, it was like during the Live Aid era, We Are the World.
Yep.
If you wanted to say there was a lot of something, you'd say blah, blah, blah for Africa. So you'd say like, we've got, you know, just say heaps of cans of Coke. We've got cans of Coke for Africa. Did you ever say that? Or was it just my primary school?
Your primary school.
Right. When you're like, you've got heaps of stuff, as in like, we've got money for Africa, we've got food for Africa, we've got like heaps of stuff for Africa.
I don't even understand that reference now.
Yeah, either do I. But kids at my school just to say that. And the implication was there is lots of this thing. We've got something for Africa.
But Africa didn't have lots of...
No, but because people were raising lots of money and sending food, and it's like, we've got lots of stuff for Africa. So if you had lots of something... Yeah, we got stuff for Africa.
It was for Africa.
And like instead of saying we got food for days, we got food for Africa.
Okay, enough food to feed Africa is the kind of
but as kids we adapted it to be anything that was there was lots of.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. It's definitely a stick out there, mate. this is how long have we been doing? Because I have a long one to finish on, so
we're about 45 minutes in at the moment.
Let's do a couple shorties and then I'll finish with this longie.
All right. Like Little John, we'll start with a couple of shorties.
Okie dokes. This is from Jeff.
Jeff with a J or a J?
J, does it matter?
Doesn't matter. I'm just interested.
It's just a short one.
Yeah.
Y'all.
Y'all?
I'm assuming he's from the States.
Maybe.
Do Australians say y'all?
I mean,
it's been creeping in.
Some Australians say y'all, but I don't think that.
You's going to do that as Australian.
Yeah, you's is much more Australian. You want to come over here, you say you's.
Yeah, are you's guys coming?
Yeah.
Y'all coming?
Yeah.
You's guys coming?
You's coming? Are you's coming? Y'all coming? You's is.
You's guys will be coming, won't you?
Yeah.
I love when people double down on the plural. Oh, you's guys.
You's guys.
y'all, I got the feels at the end of your Russell Crowe chat. Oh. I love being able to relate to someone as talented as him.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get that. Yeah. Felt like he was still much more talented than me. There is nothing like playing live. He made me miss it like crazy. Oh, I get you. Oh, yeah. You're a musician.
Yes.
Can I ask you a question, Jeff? Could you play live? of Toefop? Could you play some accompanying music? That was a great episode. You wouldn't see this, but the newsletter that goes out each week, I will promote whatever episode is on Everyone Relax that week. But the Russell Crowe one, I just keep front and center. Like it's every week, it's like, I'm just never taking this down.
I mean... It is kind of amazing.
It's a good primer episode for listening to. If you've never really listened to Toefop or you want to know where to start, 501 is a good place to kick things off, I think.
Yeah. Well, that's great information to give people at the 50-minute mark of this mailbag episode.
This is from Dan.
Yeah.
G'day, boys. It's
G'day,
me.
Boys.
Your old mate, Dan.
G'day, boys.
With Ben
Mendelsohn. G'day, boys.
G'day, boys. It's me, your old mate. I'm Dan. You got some cigarettes for me?
G'day.
Is that working on my Mendo? Got any cigarettes for me? I'm a Krull. I'm a Skrull.
I'm a Krull. You never know what a Krull and a
you don't know what you don't know what I look like.
I'm from Skrullnella.
I could look like anyone from the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
I'm an alien, but I've got an Aussie accent. Want some fish and chips?
G'day, boys.
What's a nice meat pie? I'm a Skrull. We eat meat pies on my planet. Am I from another planet or another dimension? Who knows? We're too tired. It's been going on too long. It's a lazy Saturday morning. This is from Dan. This is no longer Ben Mendelsohn, in case you can't tell. It's a lazy Saturday morning, and I've enjoyed some medicine for my definitely real anxiety and back pain. Dan, if you don't remember, well, you wouldn't know this because you don't know who I'm talking about, but Dan is an ex-professional wrestler, Australian.
Okay.
But he did some pro wrestling for a while and it fucked his back. Mm. Looking for something to watch, I discovered ESPN's The Occo on KO. The Occo on KO. Mm. It's a terrible service, by the way. I think they used to sponsor us at one point in time. They don't sponsor us now. Mm. Let me just echo Dan's sentiments. Fucking KO sucks shit.
Are you having trouble with your KO?
Are you not?
I never do, no. I have good, like, I genuinely, and
it never, it doesn't buffer.
I am not like a fan of the Murdochs or of like, no, I don't.
Oh my God. I don't think I've watched one sporting event, even on catch up, where that doesn't buffer. Like you get 5 minutes
in. And wherever you are. Like, not, yes. It's not just about.
It's not my internet. It's just, and I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
Like it constantly freezes and pauses. And the fact that you can watch a game and then you like close the app because you've got to do something and come back and you have to start at the very again. Like every other streaming service allows you to re-enter at the point you left. Why is it so shit?
Yeah.
Sponsor Two Guys, One Cup, KO.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
Mean...
if you're not familiar with The Occo, it became internationally famous as the broadcaster of the dodgeball tournament.
Oh, yes,
of course. The movie's Dodgeball.
The Ocho.
Oh, The Ocho, thank you. It's the home of such events as the Tram Driver Championships, mm-hmm. lawnmower racing, acrobatic pizza making, and Microsoft Excel spreadsheet esports, just to name a few. After scrolling through them all probably 14 times, I landed on something called Dodsing or death diving.
Okay.
Basically, these Scandinavians and occasional international interlopers jump off a very high platform, perform tricks or styles before landing in the water in a particular fashion, a la Olympic diving, albeit infinitely less graceful. Uh-huh. The World Championship of Dodding, I guess, has been held in Oslo every year since their conception in 2008. Norwegians jumping off a high place into, I assume, freezing water. I wonder if you can see where this is going. No, can you?
I mean,
someone dies.
I mean,
that's not funny, Dan. I don't like where I think this is going. Mm. After a few rounds of watching both men and women perform this insane feat, a familiar name appeared on the platform. Torp.
Oh my God.
Truls Torp of the Torp family. How do you pronounce his name? Not Elias.
Elias.
Elias's brother. Immediately, my brain lit up, remarkably fast given my state. Could this be a sibling of Elias?
Yeah.
Now, this could be a stretch. There's probably millions of Torps in Norway, and I'm now led to believe all Norwegians participate in extreme sports like this. So the question remains, is the owner of the biggest horse in all of Norway and icon of the Tofopoverse related to the world champion of death diving? Elias, if you hear this episode, please let us know. Email in and let us know.
Mate, I would love to know.
Please help me get some closure on this or it'll haunt me forever. Yes. Cheers,
I can
Dan.
Understand that, Dan.
He signs off by saying, haha, I said it was Saturday. No, it's Sunday. And then he wrote back, no, I'm wrong again. Actually, it's Saturday.
Okay, good. Good. Keep us updated, Dan.
On what day of the week is it? All right. One more shorty, then we'll finish on the...
Okay.
Oh, no, that's too long. Let's finish on the big longy.
Okay.
The big longy. This is from... Now, we welcome all listeners on this show, all creeds and colours, including potentially our oldest listener.
Okay.
Hi, guys. Long-time listener to all of your pods, but first-time contributor. As an intelligent 70-year-old man.
Okay.
Yes, we exist. I enjoy your observations on the absurdities of the thing that we call life.
I mean, that's only 20 years older than me. That doesn't feel... It's like that. I know 70 sounds like, but it's...
He was 56 when he started listening to this show.
Yeah.
But think of how bad this show was. Well, he said he's been listening the whole time, didn't he?
Oh,
did
I
listened to all your pods.
Oh, yeah, maybe all the pods. He might have shotgunned them. Yeah, like, yes.
Okay. All right. I love your observations of the absurdities of the things we call life, but your last TOEFOP, or at least last TOEFOP that he listened to, really highlighted the generational differences of what is normal. Mm. You wondered in the last pod about how relevant your own normal was becoming to your younger listeners. Part of your appeal for me listening is how your normal is so much more different to my normal. Mm. As a young man in the 70s, I lived through an era of radically changing music, sexual freedom, drugs and racial discrimination. I mean, it's a real odd.
It was like
collecting
all these
great,
great things. Which ones are good or bad? Give
emphasis.
Us an indication on which of those are you. The glory days
of racial discrimination,
taking drugs,
free
and
love,
racially discriminating,
music and Freedom to racially discriminate. And also, there was only two sexes and we all knew what they were. Our music discussions were about whether the Beatles or the Rolling Stones were better. When every meal was meat and three vegetables and driving home so pissed you could barely walk was a badge of honour, as was getting sunburnt and peeling at least three times every summer. Now, that was my normal. Mm-hmm. However, despite the fact that I appreciate how every generation's normal has changed, two things in the last pod have me totally incredulous in the decline of humanity.
Interesting.
It's not horrible things, so don't worry. Firstly, a female producer? What is going on here? The first was Charlie not only being proud of his ability to change a tire, but actually being disappointed that he didn't get some kind of high praise or recognition for the feat. At 16, we were taught to drive by our fathers. Yeah, who probably also beat you.
Because women weren't allowed to drive, right?
And the first thing we learnt before being allowed to even sit behind the wheel was how to change a tyre, the spark plugs, and check the coolant and oil levels. I mean, I know how to do all those things. I just don't do them.
I reckon spark plugs might have me.
Just pull them out and put them in. I don't know where they are.
Yeah, I was going to say. Whereas, like, I think I could knock a... I can change a tyre and I can check the sort of oil and water, although there has been times where I have not done that over the years.
Well, I mean, lights come on my dashboard and it'll be fine.
These days I can check it when my car tells me to check it.
I recently had a flat tyre and due to declining strength, had difficulty undoing the tyre nuts, but I persevered for half an hour rather than call roadside assistance. Mm-hmm. And face the abject humiliation of being seen as a grown man that needed help changing a tire. Mm-hmm. Well, it's nothing humiliating about it. Like, sometimes it's hard to get those nuts off.
Well, you've got to, like, obviously elevate the tire a little bit so that you can, like, I mean, I'm sure that he knows that, of course. Like, you know, you don't want to be trying to budge those lug nuts before you get the tire off the ground a little bit.
Post my heroic changing of the tire in Portugal, I had to, we had a flat at home in the driveway. Mm-hmm. And this was humiliating. So I went to jack up the car to swap the tire, but I hadn't accounted for the fact that there was a slight incline in our driveway.
Yeah.
So I jacked up the car, got the wheel off, and then the whole fucking thing collapsed.
Yeah.
Like the without the wheel on. And so then I had to call roadside assist. Oh, not only that, but like completely smashed the jack as well, like crushed it. And so I had to call roadside assistance and say, can you not only fucking jack my car up, but also change my tire? And the guy said, it's very simple. Just don't change a tire on an incline. You got to wait till you're on a flat road.
But yeah.
What if your car breaks down on an incline? What are you meant to do then?
Roll it down the hill until you're in a flat bit.
Really? But if you're on a freeway.
I'm sure there's a way that you can change it on a hill. You have to but it's dangerous. Like, obviously, anytime you're on an incline.
The second thing I learned, the second thing that upset him was a discussion about the person who left their rubbish bins outside of someone else's place all week through sheer laziness.
Yeah.
And the debate about correct etiquette and procedure. Despite a lengthy discussion, you failed to bring up, I don't want to typecast, but Jeff, you are sounding like a 70-year-old man.
I'm loving it, though.
Although I do hear a lot of me.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, who are you to judge? This is you.
Despite a lengthy discussion, you failed to bring up any of the four obvious options.
Okay, good.
Number one.
Yes.
Keep the fucking thing in your own backyard or garage for storing stuff.
No, I get that.
Two. Put it in your car and dump it several miles away.
Oh.
Mm. I don't think that's good.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
I mean, take it to a tip, right?
Yep.
Three, get an angle grinder out and chop it into small pieces.
Okay, yep.
Four, douse it in diesel and burn the fucker.
Okay, interesting. There was an escalation there.
Clear escalation. This is why you young uns are so confused and need therapists. Yes. Too much overthinking.
Yep.
Keep up the good work. Cheers, Jeff. And Jeff is 70 because he signed off with his mobile number.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, nice.
We can call him if we wanted to. Thank you, Jeff. And thank you, Jeff. Everyone who wrote in to us. That is TOEFOP for this week. Will, you've got a quick plug for your show.
Will Legitimate, touring all over Australia, comedy.com.au, or link in the show notes.
I guess we'll put a link in the show notes.
Link in the show notes.
Plus a link to all good stuff. I can't remember what we talked about. Notes. We've done so many shows, I can't remember what we talked about. But if there was something that we said we're going to link, it's going to be
There'll be links in the episode description, in the show notes.
Just go to your phone and look.
I've heard people say link in the show notes, so I assume if I say it.
Yeah, it'll be there.
It'll be there.
If you say it, it will come. But that is TOEFOP for this week. I'm Charlie Clawson.
I'm Larson.